Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Thank you for the singing. Been a blessing to my heart. Anytime you think about or try to fathom the depths of love that God the Father bestowed upon us and loved us with, it's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling that God would. It's just us here tonight. just the church, and so for a moment, just think back on your worst day. How low you was, how dark and vile, your darkest moment in life. I'm not asking anybody to stand up and tell about it. I don't want to tell about mine. But He knew you. He knew me when we were at our worst. As the old song says, He knew me ere He loved me. It's absolutely mind-boggling that the Holy God of heaven knew how wicked and wretched, vile you was and I was. And yet He gave His best. He gave His spotless, sinless, pure, perfect, only begotten Son for me and for you. That alone should be enough for us to live for Him without apology or excuse or moaning or backbiting. I mean, that ought to be enough for us to say, yes, sir, Lord, and strike out and march for Him till Jesus comes. But that ain't all. I mean, he did wake you up this morning with fresh mercy, not stale, 10-day-old mercy. Had mildew on. The Bible says he will kiss you in the morning with fresh mercy. And grace is sufficient. His love is enduring. And what a Savior. What a Lord. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 41. We'll read the verses again, and I'll try not to re-preach what I did this morning and try to just move right on. And Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Let's stand together. We'll honor God's word. Let you stretch your legs a minute. There, say amen. Amen. Now His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought Him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And that'll be all the reading. You have a seat. Thank you for standing. Preaching on the subject, help. We lost God, and they really did. They lost their Son, but none other than Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And I'm always amused when I read verse 48. I'm not preaching on it, but I want to read it again. When they saw Him, they were amazed, and His mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? And behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. She was getting on to little Jesus. Son, what do you do that to us for? And he answered, you didn't know I was here about my father's business. And I don't know how that would have made Joseph feel, because he wasn't about Joseph's business. He was talking about his heavenly father. But even still, you think being a mother's hard? What if he was Jesus's mother? He was always right. Now, he was respectful. He never disobeyed Mary or Joseph, and he was very, very respectful and a tremendous, he was God. But even here, when he got lost, it was their fault. That'd be all right. But this morning we looked at, they misplaced him because of their presumption. They lost God, and I'm not going to re-preach this morning, but because they just assumed that he was with them. And the Bible word in verse 44 said, but they supposing him to have been in their company. Boy, we get in a lot of trouble, and we can travel a long distance and get separated in a hurry when we just suppose he's with us. Now, it's a manual, on-purpose effort that we should every day take inventory and look. And as I said this morning, talk to him. If he don't answer back, I don't know about you, but when I pray, and prayer is a communication. It's a two-way street. A lot of people's got that mixed up and messed up. Prayer is not just you talking to God. Prayer is a you talking to God and him talking back. A lot of times you want to develop your prayer life? You want your prayer life to go to another level? You want to mature in your prayer life? Learn how to talk and learn how to listen. How good you think your marriage would be, Brother Cliff, if all you ever done with Miss Bonnie was do all the talking? And just went in and said, and this is what I think about it, and this is what I want, and this is what I want you to cook for supper, and when you go to the grocery store, this is what I like to eat, and this is what I need from Walmart, and this, and this, and this, and gimme, 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 gimme. Okay, thank you, I'm done. Oh, you can say amen real loud tonight. She ain't here.
She's not here.
I'll call and tell her. No. But that ain't how it works. Your relationship strengthens and grows when you talk and then you listen. She's already calling you. See, she heard. Listen, when you pray, go into your prayer closet, get alone, and here's an idea. Before you ever speak, shut up. Just go sit before the Lord and be quiet and see if he speaks to you. You say, well, I ain't never heard God say nothing out loud. I hadn't either. But I've heard him louder than out loud. If you are saved, his sheep knows his voice. He will speak to you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. And he'll speak to you from his word. And so, if you want your prayer life to get stronger, learn to listen in your prayer closet. Absolutely speak and talk, but listen. And my point in saying that was this. When I go to pray and I talk to him and I don't hear nothing back, that is a flag to me right then and there. Something ain't right. Lord, where are you? And I hear nothing back, and I get the sensation and the reality that I'm alone. He's not there. That lets me know something is wrong. You say, that's weird. No, that's real. We are not a bunch of Muslims that bow down on a piece of carpet and point toward Mecca and pray three times a day and just rant and rave and say some repeat some prayers to a hollow dead God. We have and serve and worship a living God. And when you speak to Him, you should expect something in return. And when you don't hear nothing in your soul and in your heart, there's a problem. Amen. That's not the time just to get up and move on and say, well, I've done my praying for today. No, you ought to stop and say, hey, let me put it in shoe patch language that we'll all get. Let me repeat that all us married folk will get. I walk in the house sometimes, Brother Ned, and I'll sense something just ain't right. And I'll say, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing. Won't say nothing. Just look. I know there's a problem. When she's not talking, there's a problem. And the only thing worse than that is me to say, oh, well, good, nothing, and me carry on. Then it turns into a real big problem. Loud discussion. Oh, here's some marital advice to this newlywed. When they get quiet, women wasn't created to be quiet. There is, Houston, we have a problem. Yeah. And, hey, Cameron, listen. And when you say, what's wrong? And she says, nothing. You got to learn tones. Yeah. Nothing don't always mean nothing. And she don't want you to just take that nothing and as good and move on. No, she wants you to dig a little bit further and find out. Are you sure? Are you sure? My point is, I'm trying to wake some of y'all up from your nap, get you to smile and breathe a little bit. Listen, my point is simply this: how you think your marriage is going to work out if it's a one-way street? And all that ever does the talking is you. It ain't gonna last. God saved us. God created us, first of all, for fellowship and communion. Amen. He's got angels. They do what they're told. But He created us in His own image that He could fellowship and commune with us. And God wants a relationship with you. God wants to fellowship with you. And when He's not speaking back, there is a problem. The point is, when you go down to pray, one of the best ways to find out, when I said take inventory, say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Listen, if there's no response, just like in a marriage, you better find out why. When it gets deathly quiet, you've done something wrong, mister.
Oh, yeah.
And no, I didn't say ma'am. Because they always write. Say, bless God, I get the last word in my house. Yeah, I do too. Yes, ma'am. Bless God, I'm the head of my home. Yeah, and they the neck that turns us. If it gets quiet, hey, that applies to children too. Some of the worst things ever happened to my kids is get awful eerie quiet. They wasn't created to be quiet. They loud. I got four of them, I know. Ellie, is that long, blonde, pretty hair right there? Yeah, I'm pointing you out. I remember, and she don't know what I'm talking about. When we was in Georgia, she got off in the bedroom, off in the bathroom in the bedroom, and locked the door. And it got quiet. No, she wasn't using the bathroom. I wouldn't tell that about you. But her mama looked through the crack and said, Ellie, what are you doing? And she come out, she was just that high, had the long, prettiest blonde hair that wasn't long blonde hair no more. found the scissors. And all of a sudden, she turned into a boy. Not really. There ain't no such thing. Girls can't turn into boys. Boys can't turn into girls. Don't let nobody ever tell you otherwise.
Amen.
Sad you got to tell children that today, but you do. If you just created a girl, you're a girl for life.
Right. Amen.
Vice versa.
Amen.
My point is, when there's silence, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Same with the Lord. When you go to pray, don't just get up and carry on when there's nothing reverberating back from God.
Amen.
I'm sure along this long journey, somewhere down that day's journey, surely, just being a good parent, I do this, and I'm not a great parent, but I will be riding down the road, and I'll say, Laura, you okay back there?
Yeah.
Just checking. And sometimes I don't listen for a response. I just checking. Laura, you all right back there? If she's eating, I say, hey, you all right? Just make sure she's still breathing.
Yeah.
Ain't choked. Any parent does that.
Right.
Surely Mary and Joseph, along a day's journey, said, you doing all right back there, Jesus? If they had listened, they would have learned. He ain't there. And they wouldn't have had near as far to go back.
Yeah. Right.
And the problem could have been fixed a lot sooner, but because they assumed, because the Bible said that they supposed that he's in their company, got them in all kind of trouble. And we can lose God when we don't listen, when we don't talk, and we don't look for him. Amen. Now, quickly, number two, second way, reason that they lost the Lord. They lost him because of their presumption. Number two, they lost him because of their preoccupation. That's preoccupied. The Bible says in verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days. Is that word fulfilled? Just sound it out. Full filled. It was a filled full day. They was busy at doing the customs and fulfilling all that had to go on. They was worried about the Passover and all the custom and doing all the celebrating and having things done just right. And they got so busy, so occupied and preoccupied. This ain't in my notes, but oh, this is so good and helpful. Do you know the Bible says, don't get weary in well-doing? You can get so busy doing churchy things. You can lose God. You can lose your fellowship with God in the church house. Teaching a Sunday school class.
Amen.
Preaching a sermon. Singing in the choir. Are you listening? We can get so preoccupied doing religious stuff that don't mean a hill of beans. You may tell you from my personal opinion, hey, church stuff does not ever trump God stuff.
Amen.
Your devotion and your loyalty and mine, we better make sure our relationship and our fellowship is first. That's why the Bible says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not the church. Not the church's righteousness. Don't seek the church. And listen, and you know this. I don't have to repeat it. I'm a church person. I love the church. I'm employed by the church. And if I wasn't employed by the church, I'd still be a church person. I've grown up in the church. I've lived for the church. I've lived in the church. And I will die in the church.
Amen.
Jesus, say, what's Jesus think about that? I'll tell you what Jesus thinks about it. Jesus said, I bought the church. Upon this rock, I will build my church in the gates of hell. With his own blood, he purchased the church. He's coming back for the church. Jesus loves the church, and so do I. But you better have a relationship and your number one loyalty and fellowship with Jesus first. Get preoccupied with Him.
Amen.
And out of that, the church will be taken care of. Matter of fact, the church will be better taken care of if your relationship and mine is right with Him first.
Amen.
Amen. I told somebody this the other day, and I mean it. I'll say it publicly. Some of the most vile, wicked, hard people I've ever met in my life, mean church people.
Amen.
Ain't that a shame? I've met nicer people at the bar than sitting in a Baptist church. That's sad, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say such. Well, you shouldn't be such. You ain't talking about me. Good. Praise the Lord. I hope I ain't.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, we had that Christmas craft thing yesterday. And I can't get used to calling it a bazaar. I ain't never heard the word bazaar unless it was talking about something that was bizarre.
Yeah.
I can't. I like, bizarre, man, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway, Miss Fern handed out sheets to all the people, the vendors and people, to say, you know, you did this right and you did this wrong and this is how you can improve. And I read through them things. And it's the truth. Every one of them talked about how nice, how friendly, and how godly and good the people this church was that treated them. And that ought to be the testimony of a church.
Amen.
Sadly, too many churches, their testimony is, oh, they're cantankerous and cold and always griping. And that ought not be named amongst us once. If we have a testimony, and listen, we ain't always going to be out beating people over here with the Bible. Bless God, I said get right with
you. Yeah.
People go run from you, crazy nut. You bizarre. No, Jesus didn't always go around preaching, repent or perish. No, he didn't. He went to the drunkards, and he went to the women of ill repute, and he loved them. And he sat down and eat with them, and he fellowshiped with them, and he helped them and healed them and forgive them. But you know how he did that? Because he was willing to go where they was.
Amen.
We ought to be. He was known the friend of sinners. Oh, we don't want those kind around our church. No, well, I don't want your kind, you religious nut. Religious people is who crucified Jesus.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, they got preoccupied with all that was going on, the customs of that day. Notice how preoccupied they were with the customs of the feast and how preoccupied they were with fulfilling that day. So concerned about getting to the feast of the Passover. They were so concerned about this feast that they left and lost their son. That's bad. When you can lose your child and leave your child behind and not even notice because you're so preoccupied. And before you go judging Mary and Joseph, I've got so preoccupied, I've left my child here at the church. I sure have recently. Say amen, Lola. I was halfway down the road headed home. I mean, I already had my head aiming toward the pillar on a Sunday night. I was done for the day. You put up with a bunch of you Baptists all day on a Sunday. So ain't you ready to go? I'm just kidding. But now it's got complicated now. The Ellie drives, the Macy drives. So I said, surely one of them Uddins have got her. Come on, babe, let's go. And we was off. And we got down the road and the phone rung. Daddy, you forgot me. I said, find your sister, right home. Hitch a ride, throw a thumb, come on. You mean I got to turn around? No. Well, went back.
So I'm saying, before I go throwing shade on Mary and Joseph, it's easy to get preoccupied.
Right. Yeah.
It's easy to get preoccupied. But just say this and move quickly. There's some things you can afford to get preoccupied in and lose and leave out and be loose with, but Jesus ain't one of them.
Amen.
It'll cost you way more than you want to pay, and they did. It's Christmas season. There are people celebrating Christmas who don't even believe in Christ. You know that? You know that? That's the truth. I saw on Fox News, they have the Great American Christmas Tree. And that sucker's huge. And it's got more lights on it than any Christmas tree I've ever seen in my life. And some lunatic went and burnt that thing to the ground. And these nuts that are the prosecutors that George Soros has put in all over the country, they had no bail reform, no cash bail. Well, he was out an hour later, the guy who done that. Sure is. But my point is, these people on that station and people who own that station, and I I promise you all of them ain't Christians. I promise you. But boy, they are celebrating Christmas. Not just Fox News, but all the news stations. People who hate God, people who will get up and deny God, they still celebrating Christmas. They in it. And listen, celebrating Christmas don't make you a Christian. No more than going to Hardee's makes you a hamburger. It just don't work that way. And there's people celebrating Christmas who don't have a relationship with Him, who don't fellowship with Him, but they get caught up in the custom. You get preoccupied in tradition. And we'll get so preoccupied in our traditions and so focused on our customs that we can lose sight and contact with the very Christ of Christmas. Before we talk about other people, even lost people, and why are they celebrating? Hey, listen, we are, if you're saved, thank God, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But we too can get preoccupied in this season of all seasons. Hanging lights, decorating trees, going to parties, going to fellowships, going shopping, one to the next, and get so preoccupied that in the mix of it all, before we know it, we've lost focus of the very Christ that this Christmas is all about.
Yeah.
And it happened to them and they lost Him. They left Him behind. So, preoccupied, so busy. Wouldn't you agree December's a pretty busy month? Yeah, shopping, cooking, decorating, parties, family gatherings, work gatherings, friend gatherings, and in the middle of it all, you still have to go to work, school, church, clean house, etc. And we go, and then take a breath. Just to go again. Breathe and then repeat. It's easy. It's easy to get preoccupied. But this whole season, listen, just coming back to reality. Think about it. When you get stressed and you get wore down and tired and just remember, if there wasn't any presents, if there was no decorations, if there was no feast of the Passover, if none of this big stuff was going on, the reason for this season is Christ.
Amen.
I remember my grandma telling me, and she's in heaven with the Lord right now, but I remember her telling me, I said, Grandma, what'd you get for Christmas when you was growing up? She said, oh, it was a good Christmas if we'd get an apple and a couple of pecans.
Mm.
Pecan.
Pecan.
And I'm just kidding with you. No, I'm not kidding. That is how you say it, and I'll teach you one day. But a pecan. You made me lose my train of thought. Woman. Don't you know the Bible says it's good for a woman not to speak? No, I'm just kidding. Renee, I'm just playing with you. What was I saying? Oh, grandma, yeah. No, I'm messing with you. Don't turn red. But seriously, hey, look at how big and how expensive we've turned this into. Do you know there's more suicides this time of year than any other time of the year? Do you know credit cards get jacked to the max and people go in so much debt and spend the rest of the year paying for stuff they can't afford to please little Johnny who's already so got more junk than they could ever use. Spoiled, rotten. It'd serve us all good just do without for a little while. Oh, I know that's the unpardonable sin in 2021. But it ain't about toys. It ain't about gifts. It ain't about the lights. And I love all that. It ain't about the food. And you know I love that. It ain't about all that. We get so preoccupied with the stuff. When's the last time? Oh, I know. If you thought that last part was rough, I'm about to ask one question. You're going to say, whew, that's rough preaching there. He sunk my battleship. When's the last time you forfeited yours to give him a present? Amen. It's his birthday.
Yeah.
Why are you being such a hog? Why are you being so demanding? Giving out all your lists. Youngins, y'all listening? I'm talking about my youngins. It's his birthday. It's about him. And boy, we're so preoccupied with what pleasing everybody else. You know what would help us all? If we just get back to worry about pleasing him.
Amen.
Seeking him first and his righteousness. And that verse goes on to say, and all these things, they'll be added to you. Clothes, food. He'll take care of all of our needs and most of our desires if we just put him first and seek him first and get occupied and preoccupied with him. And when we get on all that other stuff, like Mary and like Joseph, we'll leave him and lose him. Help! I lost God. That's where Mary and Joseph was. And God put it in his eternal word to remind us all. If it could happen to the mother of Jesus, I promise it can happen to you. Yeah. I was talking about the lights and the decorations and all the stuff that we can visibly see, the nativity scenes. Hey, ain't it pretty? It's gorgeous. We was at another church the other night, and it's decked out. I mean, it's gorgeous. And I said something about how pretty it was. And somebody said, all churches are pretty this time of the year. I guess that's true. It does make them look good, but it's beautiful. I love all this stuff. I could be a Grinch and tell you about them. I had a man in my church down yonder. You ain't gonna believe this. It's truth. I went to preach somewhere, Tennessee, it might have been somewhere down this way. I let this man preach. He's a preacher, he's 60 something years old. Member of my church for a long time. And I let him preach while I was gone out of town preaching. And I had let the ladies in the church put a Christmas tree up out in the fellowship hall and decorate it. Well, this old preacher, it's truth. He thought it was wicked to have a Christmas tree. There's people out there. There's a lot of people out there that believe that. That if you have a Christmas tree, that's Baal worship. And hey, listen, these verses in the Bible talks about curses a man that cuts down a tree. I could take that Bible and make it say anything I want it to, out of context. That's a pretty thick book. I can manipulate it and twist it. But that's foolish. Ain't nothing wrong with a Christmas tree. Ain't nothing. They call them bell bushes. You big dummy. Lost your mind. Anyway, at best, that's a gray area. That ain't black and white. So as the pastor, the authority of the church, I took the stand and said, okay, ladies, y'all can put that up out there in the fellowship hall. They did. He didn't say nothing to me. He didn't say nothing to me. He waited till I went out of town to preach, doing God's work. Let him get up in my pulpit to preach to my people. And he got up and bashed me. Talk about how liberal of a preacher I was, how wicked I was for letting the church have a Christmas tree. With me being out of town. Oh yeah, this can go on the internet too, because I done told him face to face. I don't care. He's wrong. You know what ain't a gray area? Pastoral authority. You know what ain't a gray area? You know what is black and white? Authority. And not sowing discord. And if you got an ought with your brother, go to him. But to be so underhanded and wait till I'm three states away and get up to my church and pull out that mess, that's as wicked as the devil himself.
Amen.
Ain't nothing right about that. I'm saying I love the decorations. I love it. I love the lights. I love the tree. I love it. All that's on display. Let me ask you this, and we'll be done. When's the last time? What if your heart was on display? What if our spirit, those things that we cannot see, what if they was put out in the public and shine lights on to see? Boy, that's some of the darkest things. And I'm simply saying, wouldn't it be wonderful if our heart was as bright as these lights out? We put all this stuff out to look pretty. And a lot of times we come to church with our facade and we look so churchy.
Yeah.
Can I say, the Lord looks on the heart. He knows. Right. He knows you.
Amen.
He knows that conversation y'all had on the way to the church.
Amen.
He heard y'all arguing. You starry, low-down piece of trash. Hey, God bless you. How you doing? Hey, good to see you, sir. God bless you. Hallelujah. Say, surely that don't happen. Oh, it does. Ask me. I know. Some of the hardest miles I've ever traveled been from my house to the church house getting ready to preach.
Yeah.
The devil will try to trip you up. And then, you know what he's doing? He's trying to say, you're so wicked, you don't deserve to go in there and worship God.
Yeah.
Better not raise your hand. Better not say hallelujah. You're not worthy.
Yeah.
You know what I took that old terrible advice from the father of lies, the devil himself, the accuser of the brethren. That's his name. And he'll trip you, and he will hide and trick you and get you fussing and close to cussing.
Yep.
Yep. Yes, on the way to church.
Amen.
Just so he can get you here and say, you ain't no good. You are unworthy. You better not worship him. And then the Holy Spirit's grieved.
Yeah.
And Jesus gets his glory stolen, and he don't get the worship that's due his name. But you know what? Let me help all of us. You don't worship him because you're worthy. You ain't never been worthy. I ain't never been worthy. He's worthy, so worship him whether you are or not. Praise him because he's worthy. Don't steal his glory just because you had a bad day.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen, that's right. Amen, that's right. So they got preoccupied, and that's how they lost him. Number three, and finally, I got 3 minutes to have y'all out here at 7 o'clock. Think I can do it?
No.
Dare me. Dare me. I'm just kidding. They lost him, number one, because of their presumption. They lost him, number two, because of their preoccupation. And finally, they lost him because of their priorities. They had their priorities wrong. The Bible says they went a whole day without hearing from him or seeing him. Then all of a sudden it hit Mary like a ton of bricks and she screamed, "Joseph! Have you seen Jesus?" You know that mother's intuition? You know, mamas, I don't know this, but you mamas know this. Jenny will do this. It's amazing. A mama has something inside of her. And I read this week, and I ain't going to have the facts exactly right because I can't remember. But those cases are being argued at the Supreme Court and Roe v. Wade and trying, hey, y'all better keep praying. It's babies' lives. But I was reading, I've been studying about abortion and murder, etc. And do you know, it's truth now, that a mother, talking about a mother's intuition, do you know that when a mother carries a child, that her DNA and her body part cells from her goes into that baby and creates that baby? Just for a few weeks, I mean, after hardly no time at all, part of her becomes part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, did you know if that mama gets sick, disease, sick, any kind of sickness, do you know that that baby takes that DNA and that life that he got or she, that child got from his mother or its mother, and that baby will become a lifesaver for that mother, and it will start fighting the disease for the mother. It does. They both fending for each other's life. But this is what, this is so amazing right here. A mother can lose the child after just a few weeks. Not long at all. That mother can lose that baby. And for up to 15 to 20 years later, they found DNA in parts from where that baby, the mother can still feel it. It's, I mean, 15 to 20 years later from just a few weeks of being pregnant, it's still traceable. It's still there. My point is, ain't nobody got business butchering babies.
Amen.
Nobody.
Amen.
Nobody.
Yes, sir.
Say, but it's a woman's choice. No, it ain't. It's God's choice, and that baby has just as much choice as a woman or a man.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Say, oh, why are you saying that? It's Christmas time. You're supposed to be preaching on Jesus. Yeah, and it's high time preachers got back to preaching the Bible and truth and for life. Hey, if there's ever been a time to preach on the sanctity of life, what if they had the mentality these nuts and wicked people have today and treated Jesus like that? None of us would be saved. Jesus may have never come to this world. Ain't you glad he wasn't aborted? That's right. Oh, that's right. Well, my 3 minutes is up. Who spun that clock? Hey, that's a good old country word in your Bible. I love country words. If you've been listening to me long, you've already found out I'm not the most proper English lecturer. I'm country. But just to prove God's country too. Right there in your Bible, it says that it didn't say that when Mary realized he was gone, they said, "Oh, where's Jesus?" It didn't say they went and hunted for him at the relative's house. said the Kim folk.
Oh,
that's right.
Kim
folk. Them my kin. That's my relatives. No. The Bible said that. They went looking for him at the kin folk.
That's right.
Hey, read your King James Bible. That's what it says. I didn't twist that a bit. That's what it says. So they started frantically searching for him, and did you notice how quick their priorities changed when they realized they had lost Jesus? Oh yeah. All of a sudden, the Passover feast wasn't all that important when they realized he was lost. On a dime, everything else took a second seat, took a back seat. Everything else faded in the background, as it should. Hey, I know y'all tired. I'm about done. But tell me, ain't this the truth? The world stops spinning when you lose your keys. Oh, I'm getting to the phone next. But when you need to go somewhere and you're about to walk out the door and you reach to where they always are and there ain't no jing-a-ling-a-ling, and then you go frantically and you don't even think, what did I do? And you think, who took my keys? Which one of you youngins? You thieving youngins. What'd you do with my keys? Where they at? Give them to me. But I'm saying everything else takes a back seat till my keys are found. And you young people, go ahead and snicker and laugh. Ha, 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 ha. He, 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 he. You the same way when it's your phone or your tablet. Oh, my goodness. I'm doing some preaching now, ain't I? It's amazing. I ain't going to go into it tonight for sure. Just say this. We're in some deep waters.
Yeah.
We're in some awful deep waters with these phones and tablets.
Amen.
Addiction. Please hear me. I know I've said it and taught on it before and dealt with it. But I promise you, it's amazing that children would say, spank me, Daddy, but don't take my phone. And mean it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why all these people who create these things, they don't let their children have them. That ain't no junk. Look it up. I know that's a fact.
Yeah.
I'm talking about priorities. Their priorities changed. I wonder what it would do if he got as important, if we prioritized him as much as we did our phone. Hey, I don't know if Amazon does it. I mean, Amazon, good night. There's so many of these things, I can't keep up with them. I'm just very familiar with Amazon because my wife has a first name basis with them. Android. I don't know if Android does this, but Apple, every week, at the end of the week, every Sunday morning, matter of fact, something will come across my phone and say, your screen time for the week. How many of y'all want to come up here and call y'all out publicly? Anybody? I'll give you a mic. Anybody want to come call your time out of screen time this week?
You, JD?
No.
Does it compare to your Bible time? See my point? And that's adults. And we're raising our children. I don't want to put up with you. I ain't got time for you. You're getting on my nerves. Here, just go. Go play. Here, Apple.
here Google, here Amazon, here Game, here whatever, here YouTube. Raise my children. Say, well, I wouldn't allow that in my house. I wouldn't allow that wicked violence. I wouldn't allow that nudity, or I wouldn't allow those words. I'd beat your tail if I hear that coming out your mouth. Yet we give them the world, literally, and say, have at it. If we don't think that influences them and impacts them and puts tattoos on their brain,
amen,
that will never come off.
Amen.
We're deceiving ourselves.
Amen.
We better get our priorities right, because we're raising a generation that knows not God. I wonder how long it's been for some of us since we knew where Jesus was. I'm done. When's the last time you seen him? When's the last time you spoke to him? I didn't ask when's the last time you heard a preacher preach, or a Sunday school teacher teach, or the choir sing. When's the last time you had an encounter with Jesus? Heard his voice, felt his touch, had him hug you. We've lost him because we've got our priorities so wrong. They did. But when they realized he was gone, unlike the average person in a Baptist church, when Mary looked at Joseph and she looked back to him and she said, they said, oh my, this is tragic. He's gone. We've lost him. They stopped. They stopped. No further. No further. Immediately, they about face and they went back to find him. You know what that's called? Repentance. You know what repentance is? It means I'm going this way. It's a military term. It's an about face, 180. And you go back. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph repented because they lost him. And they went back, and this is the final. I know y'all done heard that about 14 times. This, we're closing. This is final. Just 5 more minutes. No. Seriously. Who can tell me where they found him? Who can tell me where they found Jesus? That's good. He was. He was at the temple. But more importantly than the church, you know where they found him? Where they left him.
Yeah.
That's where they found him. You know where you can find him? You're going to have to go all the way back to where you left him.
Yeah.
There ain't no shortcuts there. You just got to stop and go back to the last time you heard him, the last time you saw him. When you lose your keys, you lose your phone, you know what you do? You backstep. You backpedal. You retrace your steps. Until you can put your hands on it. And it's the same way with Jesus. Let's stand. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being God and for loving us, for being the best friend a person could ever want or dream or have. And I beg of you, Lord, we wouldn't be so preoccupied, have our priorities so out of order, presume, Lord, that you just enter company, but God, that we would on purpose look for you, listen to you, long to have you in our midst, Lord. And God, when we do realize, like Mary and Joseph, Lord, that you are lost, that you are not with us, you are not with us, you give us the integrity, the spirituality to stand up, turn around,
and walk back to you, towards you until we find you. Oh, God, help us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need these altars, they're open. You come. As she plays, you come and do business with the Lord. These are praying. Would you come? People doing business with the Lord, you pray. If you're in your seat, you cannot bow or come, speak to the Lord, talk to Him.